Welcome to a Juno Afternoon here on Tuesday, April 8th, 2014, on 104.3 KTOO FM. My name's Scott Burton. I'll be your host for the next hour. Today we get to hear from Lieutenant Chris Sell with the Alaska Peace Officers Association about the Juno Triathlon. We'll hear about National Public Health Week from Catherine Boyce. We'll hear about the Jack's Clink Wine Tasting happening. We'll hear about JSD, the Juno School District Kindergarten Registration, and Kim Winnecke of the Kluane Mountain Bluegrass Camp will be on the phone with us. We'll hear some good music. It's Folk Fest Week. We'll hear Writer's Almanac, National Native News, and more.
This is National Native News. I'm Antonia Gonzalez. The Eastern Shoshone Tribes General Council dismissed two elected tribal officials over the weekend. And as Wyoming Public Radio's Irina Zhorov reports, the move impacts tribal affairs and may delay the disbursement of settlement checks.
For the Eastern Shoshone Tribe, the General Council is the last word on any laws passed or actions taken. The Council is not an elected body, but a quorum of enrolled tribal members, and it has the power to dismiss the elected officials who sit on the tribe's six-person business council. It did that over the weekend, voting Wes Martell and Ivan Posey from their seats. Business Council Chairman Darwin St. Clair Jr. says he's not sure why, and he hasn't seen this kind of dismissal before.
General Council, although has the authority to make these kind of decisions on behalf of all its tribal members, I don't know if it was very well thought out, and that unfortunately we kind of stifled our government.
The Business Council, according to tribal law, requires a quorum of four people to vote. With one seat empty because of the death of a sitting councilman and the two dismissals on Saturday, the three current members can't act on anything.
That could include, but not limited to, enrollment, our tribal enrollment, our contracts that we have with various governments and or businesses, any financial requests, any kind of correspondence that we may agree to, settlement disbursements, tribal petitions.
The Wind River Indian Reservation tribes in Wyoming just received settlement money from a lawsuit with the federal government over mismanagement of mineral royalties, but Northern Arapaho tribal members will likely see their money sooner since the Eastern Shoshone Business Council can't vote to release the funds. A special election is scheduled for April 15th. Only one person is on the ballot, but if sworn in, the Business Council's quorum would be met. For National Native News, I'm Irina Zhorov in Lander.
The fate of a multi-million dollar Native American museum in Oklahoma remains uncertain, despite a push from two leaders for completion of the project. On Monday, Oklahoma Governor Mary Fallon and Chickasaw Nation Governor Bill Anitubby met with GOP members of the State House to ask for their support. As Kurt Gortney with KGOU reports, completion of the long-delayed project hinges on getting enough Republicans to support the plan.
A bill that would provide $40 million to help pay to finish construction of the American Indian Cultural Center and Museum passed a critical committee vote in the Oklahoma House last week, but has yet to be scheduled for a vote on the House floor. Speaker Jeff Hickman says he won't bring the bill forward until he knows there are 51 Republicans committed to supporting the legislation. The bill would provide the $40 million to match a similar amount from private and tribal donations pledged to the museum. The Senate has already approved the bill that would take money from Oklahoma's unclaimed property fund to help complete the mothballed museum. Republican Representative David Dank says passage of the proposal may depend on lawmakers who are members of Oklahoma tribes. For National Native News, I'm Kurt Gwartney in Oklahoma City.
The Senate Committee on Indian Affairs is scheduled to focus on Indian education this week. A hearing in Washington, D.C. Wednesday will examine Native students in public schools. William Mendoza, the executive director of the White House Initiative on American Indian and Alaska Native Education, will testify. Witnesses also include those who work on Indian education issues in Montana, Wyoming, Arizona, and Minnesota. In April 1934, Congress passed the Johnson-O'Malley Act to subsidize states for educational, medical, and other services for Native Americans. Since its passage, Johnson O'Malley programs continue to address the unique cultural needs of Native students. This is National Native News. I'm Antonia Gonzalez.
National Native News is produced at the Annenberg National Native Voice Studios in Albuquerque, New Mexico by Kawanak Broadcast Corporation, with offices in Anchorage, Alaska. Funding is provided by the Corporation for Public Broadcasting, the Annenberg Foundation, and the Ford Foundation. With funding from ConocoPhillips, Alaska's oil and gas company. The Convention and Tourism Department of the Albuquerque Hispano Chamber of Commerce provides convention and event planning services for Native American organizations. Information at ahcnm.org. Native Voice One, the Native American Radio Service.
Welcome back to a Juno afternoon. This is your Tuesday host, Scott Burton, on April 8th, 2014. And now in the studio with me is Lieutenant Chris Sell of the Juno Police Department. Welcome, Chris.
Thank you, Scott.
So you wear a few different hats. Can you tell me about them?
Well, I do work for the Juno Police Department, and I'm very fond of the department. They pay me money, and I get to live on that.
It's a good thing.
But I also volunteer as part of the Alaska Peace Officers Association. I'm the state vice president and used to be the Juno chapter president. I'm now still on the board. And in that role, I started 4 years ago putting on a triathlon for APOA, and it raises money to donate to the Special Olympics.
Very cool cause.
And where that came from is in 2010, I helped run the torch to open the summer games in Nebraska for the Special Olympics.
Okay.
And it was such an amazing experience, so inspiring, that I was trying to think of what can I do for Special Olympics to raise people's awareness and get athletes supporting athletes and really being completely ignorant of how complicated it would be to throw a triathlon. Mm-hmm. I went ahead and did it anyway. I have learned a lot over the last 4 years and have some great people who have stood by me and volunteered each year.
Okay.
And so now we're coming up on our fourth APOA triathlon.
Okay. And it's in May, is that right?
It's May 3rd. It's a Saturday morning, and we're going to start our first swimmers at 7 o'clock in the morning.
Okay.
It's a sprint triathlon, which means the swim is 10 laps, so that's 20 lengths of the pool out in the Valley Pool. And then it's a bike ride basically around Back Loop Road for just under 13 miles, and then a 5K run on the Brotherhood Bridge Trail. Now, something brand new we're doing this mm-hmm. year is the Iron Kids Triathlon.
Okay.
And that's going to start after the APOA Triathlon. So I'm hoping it's warm so people aren't freezing and trying to go home immediately. The kids are going to start at 9 a.m.
Okay.
And they have they can either swim 50 yards or 100 yards, so one or two laps. And then they'll have a one-mile bike ride and a half-mile run. So we're trying to get some more young people involved in triathlons. And, of course, as a police officer, I'm interested in getting kids involved in healthy, positive activities as young as possible, hoping they'll stick with that.
Is it okay if I join the Iron Kids one? It's a little more my size.
You know, you're going to be a little taller than all the competitors, but I recently did my first swim meet of my entire life, and I swam against a couple of nine-year-olds.
Uh-huh.
So, you know, it happens, and I find that the kids are very supportive of the adults, though they do want to beat you. They will definitely put their sights on you.
Do you participate yourself?
I don't participate in this triathlon because I'm organizing it and I need to be available for whatever crisis pops up.
Sure.
I do some other triathlons. JPD does its own kind of law enforcement-oriented triathlon, which is a JPD folks and then other law enforcement agencies. And we do that in July. And that's a more of a closed event, but it introduced me to law enforcement or into triathlons 10 years ago when JPD started having triathlons.
Great. So May 3rd, which is a Saturday.
Correct.
7 a.m. is the adult.
Well, I say adults, but there are people, kids who are in that. It's just they're doing it as part of a team or with their parents. But and some kids are doing it by themselves. But the little kids triathlon starts at 9. The Iron Kids, kind of the elementary school age.
And maybe, yeah, what's your target demographic for that first one? What's the atmosphere like? Is it a real serious race? Or people?
No.
You said people are out having fun, it sounds
like. Well, and but Juno has fabulous athletes and some really good triathletes.
Right.
And this is their first triathlon of the season, and they're definitely racing each other. So we've got a couple of different categories. You can sign up for the competitive division, and these are the triathletes that are serious. They're going to be sharing swim lanes with each other. They're going to be racing each other, and you're going to see them racing each other. Then we have the sport division, and that's for people who are just want to have a really fun day, don't want to get pushed, don't necessarily look to be going head-to-head with other athletes and racing against them. And they're maybe starting out with triathlons or don't want that super competitive environment. So we'll start them next.
Okay.
And after that, then we have team triathlons. And this is the only triathlon I know of that allows for teams. So you can have one of your buddies do the swim, somebody do the bike, and somebody do the run.
Mm-hmm.
And the state troopers have put together a team. They have got a team that's going to do a team triathlon, and then they've organized with a couple of other Boy Scout-oriented teams. So the troopers are doing a great job of getting people involved this year. Sergeant Matt Dobson has really stepped up to help with involvement.
Well, this sounds like a lot of fun, and all proceeds go towards the Special Olympics.
That's correct. APOA pays all of the expenses, and then whatever money we raise from people giving donations and from their entrance fee gets turned directly over to Special Olympics on May 17th at the Torch Run.
Oh, great. And what is the registration fee?
The registration fee is $50 for an adult, for just a person who's doing the triathlon themselves, an adult or someone who's under 18 who's doing the sprint triathlon. And then it's $25 if you're on a team. And then there's no required donation for the Iron Kids.
Okay.
We ask to donate if you can, but we know that if you've got 2, 3, or 4 kids, athletics gets very expensive in Juno, and we're willing to just help them introduce them to triathlons without charging you anything.
Great. A lot of good information here. Sounds like a lot of fun for the whole family. If somebody wants more information, where can they find that?
There's going to be registration forms at the Diamond Aquatic Center that started this afternoon. And you can also email me at chrissell, K-R-I-S-S-E-L-L, at gci.net.
All right. Lieutenant Chrissell, thank you.
Oh, and I'm sorry, one more thing.
Oh,
you can also register on active.com if you're over 12 years old.
That all sounds great, and this interview will be archived, of course, on our website, so if you need that information, you can go there and get it. Lieutenant Chrissell, thank you so much for your time today. Is there anything else we're missing? Anything else you'd like to add?
Oh, there's so much to the entire Special Olympics story. I know that I seemed very disappointed when you told me I had 5 or 6 minutes. I asked if I can take any of your other guests in a confrontation. Can I have their time?
We joked about having them arrested on the way here, pulled over.
So, there's just a lot to the Special Olympics stories, and law enforcement has a very strong relationship with Special Olympics because cops need heroes, too, and the Special Olympics athletes are our heroes. So it's great to be able to support them and have a fun community event all at the same time.
Well, it sounds great. And if you want to learn more about this, contact Chrissell, K-R-I-S-S-E-L-L at gci.net, or you can talk to her at this event, learn more about it, probably become involved if you want. Again, Lieutenant Chrissell, thank you for your time today. And now I would like to play for you our guest artists. They will be here as part of Folk Fest on Thursday. They'll play their set beginning at 8 o'clock. Here's Bonsoir Catan with Ruben's Train. You're listening to Juno Afternoon here on Tuesday, April 8th, 2014. And on the phone with me now is Kim Winecki of the Kluane Mountain Bluegrass Camp. Welcome, Kim.
Hi, Scott.
Nice to have you on the show today. How are you?
I'm doing really well.
And where are you calling from?
I'm calling from Whitehorse, Yukon, so just a little to the north.
How's the weather up there?
It's actually a beautiful spring day up here today. It's probably 7, and it's a little cloudy. Things are melting. It's beautiful spring.
All right. It's kind of sort of trying here. We had some grapple earlier. It's probably about, I don't know, I'm guessing 35 degrees and back to rain. Just FYI.
Oh. Is it going to be nice for the festival this weekend?
Totally. Oh. Totally.
Awesome.
We're hoping
okay,
so.
Okay, good.
So the Kluane Mountain Bluegrass Camp, tell us about it.
So the Kluane Mountain Bluegrass Camp is a live-on-site camp. It's a really small, intimate camp where we bring in 8 instructors and only 60 students come to camp, and we all live on-site together. So it's occurring June 9th through 13th this year, and we've got some amazing instructors coming up. And generally, like every year, we've had people from Gustavus or Juneau or Haines or Skagway or a sample or Fairbanks even. They come down for the camp, and we're just trying to get the word out so more Alaskans can come out and join us.
All right. So 8 instructors, 60 students. What's the facility like? What's the whole atmosphere?
Well, the instructors all live, it's at Sundog Retreat, which is about 30 kilometers out of Whitehorse, and it's about a 15-minute walk down to the Yukon River, so it's really rural and quiet, and the instructors all live or are housed in log cabins, and the rest of us are in our trailers or our tents, and we have instructional spaces in each of the instructors' cabins, plus a few communal areas. And we have a great caterer who feeds us all weekend in one of the communal areas. That's one of the perks of it. And we have a morning class and an evening class in each of the instruments. So this year we have two levels of mandolin, stand-up bass, clawhammer, banjo, intermediate to advanced fiddle, vocals, and I don't know if I said bass or not. Anyway, and then flat picking guitar and rhythm guitar. So lots of different classes. And then we come together in the evening and we jam with the instructors and with each other. So there's lots of musical immersion for the 4 days of the camp.
So let me get this right. Food taken care of by a beautiful river in a rural setting. Only 60 students, 8 instructors. And I'm seeing names like Daryl Enger, Riley Bogus and Chris Stewart, Joe Walsh. I mean, there's some big names here. This sounds like a lot of fun.
Totally. It's so much fun. And the people, like our instructors, I can't believe we have Daryl Enger and Riley Bogus coming up this year, and Joe Walsh. He's taught at our camp a few times already, and he's bringing up his friends this time. So we're so blessed to have them, and they're just so open and friendly, and it's so small that, you know, we just sit there and listen to their stories about playing with Tim O'Brien or David Grisman or whatever.
Right.
And listen them play with each other. Like the best, I love the introductory concert on Monday night. It starts on Monday evening with a barbecue supper, and then the instructors give an informal concert. So there's 60 of us listening to Daryl Enger play or Riley Bogus, right? And then we also do band scrambles where I break up all of the students into 9 or 10 different bands, and each one of those bands is led by one of the instructors. It's just so much fun.
And it sounds like accommodations. You can bring a tent or you can bring a trailer. Are there cabins?
That's right. There are cabins. I have one that's available to rent if there's like if you have health issues or you're not able to bring a tent or a trailer. You could email me and I could hook you up with a trailer, most of a cabin, and you'll probably be shared with a few other people. So that's totally available. But it's a private retreat, this one. So there's only, I think, one vacancy right now for the cabins.
This sounds like a lot of fun.
It is. And you don't have to do dishes for 4 days.
And so. You get fed and you learn stuff about music.
Mm-hmm. And it's only 475 Canadian, which is probably like $6 American right now or something.
$6. Wow. Amazing.
$6. Yeah. I might be a bit off in my math, but, you know.
Well, it sounds like a lot of fun. Kim, if somebody wants to get more information, what's the best avenue for that?
Well, they can go to yukonbluegrass.com and click on the Kluane Mountain Bluegrass Camp, and it'll take you to the registration page, and it has lots of information there. You can also email me at camp@yukonbluegrass.com, or you could call me at 867-335-1428.
Okay. And if any of you listeners missed that information, you can find that on our website at ktoo.org, where we do archive the show. And Kim, are you coming down for Folk Fest this year?
I can't this year. But I'm there in spirit, and I hope to come down next year.
Yeah, and we should get a flyer for your camp. You should send me a flyer, or if you haven't done that already.
I will send you a flyer, and we have an ad in the Alaska Folk Fest.
Oh, perfect. Perfect.
Yes.
Okay. Kim, anything else you'd like to add?
No, except for I hope to see lots of Alaskans. It's really nice to meet people who are our neighbors and play with a bunch of different folks.
All right. That's June 9th through the 13th. Kim Winecki, thank you so much for your time today.
Thanks, Scott. Have a great afternoon.
Yeah, you too. Bye-bye.
In Nashville, and they can pick more notes than a number of eights on a Tennessee eight hill. There's 1,352 guitar cases in Nashville, and any one of them packs of guitar can play twice as better than I will.
Nashville can
play clean as country water.
Nashville can
play wild as Mountain Dew.
Nashville can
been playing since his baby. It worked before that too.
Yeah, I was just 13. You might say I was a musical proverbial knee high when I heard a couple new sounding tunes on the tube and they blasted the sky high. Then the record man said, everyone is Yellowstone record from Nashville, and up north there ain't nobody buys them. And I said, but I will. And it was
Nashville can
play clean as country water.
Nashville can
play wild as Mountain Dew.
Nashville can
been playing since his baby.
Nashville can
it worked before that.
And they ain't uptight if one of the kids will, because it's custom made for any mother's son to be a guitar picker in Nashville. And I sure am glad I got a chance to say a word about the music in my
Nashville. Nashville cats.
Play clean as country water.
Nashville cats.
Play wild as Mountain Dew.
Those Nashville cats.
Been playing since age baby.
All them Nashville cats.
Get work before they're due.
Support comes from Northern Audiology and Hearing Services, providing services for identification, evaluation, and rehabilitation for individuals with hearing difficulties. Located in the Jordan Creek Center. Information at 789-6780.
Welcome back to a Juno Afternoon. I've been joined in the studio by Ms. Catherine Boyce of the Juno Public Health Center. She's a nurse there. Welcome, Catherine.
Hey, thanks for having me.
It's great to have you. So it's National Public Health Week, is that right?
It is, yeah. This week, April 7th through 11th, is National Public Health Week.
Okay.
This is just a week that the American Public Health Association has kind of been promoting since 1995, and the purpose is to promote public health and raise awareness about health issues in our communities. So each day has a theme. The theme for today is Don't Panic, and so the whole day there's different activities all over the country promoting emergency preparedness, which is especially timely for us here in Alaska since we're right at the 50th anniversary of the Good Friday earthquake.
Okay.
So it kind of coincided well that on this past Wednesday, April 2nd, we had nurses from our health center along with partners from the Coast Guard, CBJ Emergency Programs, the Fire and Police Department, Bartlett Hospital, the Red Cross, and did a mock disaster exercise for the Alaska Shield. And our nurses went out to UAS and set up a mock shelter where they provided first aid just like they would in a real disaster. So it's nice that this coincided with this public health week. So we're trying to promote emergency preparedness in general, but it's very specific to Alaska because as we're going through remembering this earthquake 50 years ago.
I see. And you work at the Juno Public Health Center, too, is that right?
I do, yeah.
Yeah, what are some of the services that you provide out there?
So our focus is always on prevention and the promotion of health. So we like to get out in the community and do educational events. We like to make our presence at health fairs. And then within the clinic, we do immunizations. So all children up to the age of 3 are eligible for immunizations with us. And then after the age of 3, any child who has Medicaid, who is Alaska Native or American Indian, who's uninsured or whose insurance doesn't cover immunizations can come and see us for vaccines. So we cover a really broad range of kids. Adults, we're a little stricter. Pretty much if an adult doesn't have insurance or if their insurance doesn't cover immunizations, then we can see them for like your tetanus vaccine, mm-hmm. the shingles vaccine for older people, and then pneumonia vaccine also. And other than immunizations, we do well child checks. So we do full head-to-toe assessments and developmental screenings for kids up to age 18. And then if we see something that needs to be followed up on, we'll refer them to a provider or to the infant learning program through REACH. We also do family planning services. So we have birth control. We have a nurse practitioner who can do women's health care. And then we do STD testing and treatment. And we deal a little bit with tuberculosis testing and treatment. So if someone needed a tuberculosis test for entrance to school or to a living facility, we could do that also. So really everything we do is aimed at preventing illness and protecting the health that people have.
Sounds like a lot of services out there.
We try to
comprehensive.
Yeah, we try to offer a pretty wide range of services and do things like this to get the word out about what we can offer.
For folks that don't know, can you describe where you are physically?
Oh, definitely. We are directly across from the Twin Lakes Playground. So we're a big brown building just up the hill from the Twin Lakes Playground parking lot. And we're open Monday through Friday from 8 to about 4:30 is when we start shutting down. But we do have someone answering the phones from 8 to 5. And our number is 465-3353. If anyone ever wants to give us a call and ask about services or educational opportunities, we love to come to schools or preschools and talk to parents and teachers about anything from lice to immunizations to well child checks, just kind of the whole range of health education that the public might need.
Okay. Anything else planned as part of National Public Health Week?
Not through our health center specifically, but we just really want to encourage people to be aware that this is a week that's going on. And, you know, like I said, today's theme is don't panic. So to disaster preparedness, just encouraging individual households to be prepared, to have, you know, a 3-day supply of food and water, to have a safety plan in case there is some kind of natural disaster. We just want to encourage people to be healthy and make good choices and kind of protect their health and be as proactive as they can.
Okay. Is there anything else you'd like to add? Anything we're missing?
We always like to promote immunizations. We're really mm-hmm. big on that. And especially that is part of this disaster preparedness and planning. The CDC recommends a yearly flu vaccine for everyone over the age of 6 months. And that's actually part of this disaster preparedness, because when we see, for example, after an earthquake or tsunami, large groups of people living closely in shelters, that's when we see a lot of illness spreading around. So the getting a yearly flu vaccine is one item that we definitely promote. And just getting the flu vaccine as soon as it becomes available each year. And then the other, you know, we really like people to take charge of their health and to work with each other to promote health. So if you're interested in any kind of public health measures, emergency preparedness, then spreading the word at your child's school or other places that you spend your time, and just kind of volunteering to help places assess their readiness for any kind of disaster or any kind of outbreak.
And would it be good if they coordinated with you before they did that?
That would be great. We'd love for people to coordinate with us. We're always happy to help. And we have a whole division of our section of public health nursing that's devoted to emergency preparedness. So we definitely want to work with people to prepare for any kind of outbreak or disease or natural disaster.
All right. Well, if anyone's interested, they can contact Catherine Boyce here at the Juneau Public Health Center at 465-3353?
That's correct, yep.
Okay. And they're celebrating National Public Health Week this week and bringing attention to that. Catherine, anything else?
That's about all I can think of. If you want to know what the other days are real quick, Monday is Be Healthy from the Start. Tuesday is Don't Panic. Wednesday is Get Out Ahead, so that's a big prevention day. Thursday, the focus is on eating well, so I imagine there will be a lot of activities around the nation about food safety and healthy food. And then Friday is a call to be the healthiest nation in one generation and kind of taking best practices from a variety of other perspectives around the globe and really promoting the health of our generation now.
Okay. Great. Well, Catherine Boyce, thank you for your time today.
Thank you.
And here is the Writer's Almanac for Tuesday. It's the 8th of April, 2014. It's the birthday of the man who wrote, "The Lord made Adam, the Lord made Eve. He made them both a little bit naive." The lyricist Yip Harburg, New York City, 1896, wrote "April in Paris" and "It's Only a Paper Moon." It's the birthday of the editor and publisher Robert Giroux, born in New Jersey, 1914, published Gene Stafford, Jack Kerouac, Susan Sontag, T.S. Eliot. Barbara Kingsolver, born on this day, 1955, in Annapolis, Maryland, author of many novels, The Poison Wood Bible, Prodigal Summer. In 2007, she published a book entitled Animal Vegetable Miracle about her family's year of eating only food that was grown within 100 miles of their house. Barbara Kingsolver, who said, "It is harrowing for me to try to teach 20-year-old students who earnestly want to improve their writing. The best I can think to tell them is quit smoking and observe posted speed limits. This will improve your odds of getting old enough to be wise." It's the birthday of the investigative journalist who broke the story of the My Lai massacre, Seymour Hersh, born in Chicago, 1937. And it was on this day in 1935 Congress approved funding for the Works Progress Administration of the Roosevelt administration, which put unemployed Americans back to work. They did mostly public works, built or repaired roads and bridges and parks and schools and other public buildings. Part of the WPA was its arts programs, the Federal Writers Project, the Federal Theater Project. Of the more than 8 million people who worked for the WPA, only about 40,000 were employed in the arts programs. The writers among them put out a series of state-by-state guidebooks. Artists created sculptures and paintings and murals, and they still were required to clock in at 8 o'clock in the morning and out at 4 p.m. Here's a poem entitled Spring, a poem by Marjorie Wentworth. After the rain, outside the barred windows of the classroom, tiny black birds are bathing in puddles beneath the oak trees. Dipping into the icy water, they shake their feathers with such joy that their song pulls us from our seats out onto the steps where my students and I walk into the first sunlight we've felt for days to watch them dance. The birds remind me of the Chinese peasants I read about in college, sitting in the sunshine on the first day of spring, after cutting the quilted clothes they were sewn into for the long winter. They gathered outside to pick fleas from the sour cotton lining of their jackets and flick them at each other, ducking and laughing in the bright air, while their children ran naked into a pond filled with melting snow. Spring, a poem by Marjorie Wentworth from her new and selected poems published by the University of South Carolina Press and used by permission here on the Writer's Almanac, supported by Lumosity.com, a brain training program designed by neuroscientists that has been used by 50 million people worldwide. More at Lumosity.com. And by Anchor Bay Entertainment with August Osage County, directed by John Wells and starring Meryl Streep and Julia Roberts on Blu-ray and DVD. Produced by Joy Biles, with assistance by Teresa Burgess. Be well, do good work, and keep in touch.
Welcome back to a Juno Afternoon here on Tuesday, April 8th, 2014. Scott Burton, your host here, and John DeCherney of Specialty Imports has joined me. John, how are you today?
Good. Thanks for having me on.
Yeah, thanks for coming down. So you're here to talk about the Clink event tonight at the Jack.
Right. There's a wine tasting tonight at the Arts and Humanities Council, lovingly known as the Jack. I'm with a company called Specialty Imports. We're in the wholesale wine and beer and spirits business. And every year we have a trade show in Anchorage where most of our suppliers come to show their wines. And we thought it'd be nice if some of them stopped before they got to Anchorage on their way here and do a benefit for the Arts Council. So we have three suppliers, Patrick Will from Vintas, Michael Sheets from a company called The Other Guys, and Lisa Beck from San Francisco Wine Exchange. And they'll be pouring a variety of wines. And one of them has a little bit of gin and one of them has a little bit of rye for people to taste and to try. The event is from 5 to 7 this evening. And it's $30 per person and $50 for a couple.
And all proceeds go to benefit the Juno Arts and Humanities Council, right?
Proceeds go to the Arts and Humanities Council, yes.
That sounds like a lot of fun.
It is. There's quite a variety of wines to try. When we schedule this event, we try to make sure that each supplier brings a fairly different, unique portfolio. So we have Patrick Will from Vintas, who's featuring mostly imported wines, some great wines from the Rhone Valley from a longtime producer named Gigal. He also has some really nice things from Italy and from Argentina. Michael Sheets, who's from a company called The Other Guys. The Other Guys is either the third or the fourth generation, I forget, of the Sebastiani family. So all of their wines are from California, and they're featuring a very, very drinkable, very affordable, really user-friendly style. And Lisa from the San Francisco Wine Exchange, she has wines from all over the globe also. She has a great Malbec and Cabernet from Argentina, a nice port from California, and some great wines from a family winery named Milbrandt that are producers in the Columbia Valley.
Wow. I bet you can learn – one could learn a lot by going there this evening.
Well, more than you can with a map, I suppose, but with it might be a little more fun.
And I suspect people would be able to learn about pairings and stuff like that as well,
They could. That isn't really the point of it. We're having some entertainment. There's food there. I mean, if you want to pair it – I mean, I suppose that could work. I'm not really sure. The food will be provided by our friends at the Breeze, and then there's entertainment by Tom Loker and Wayne Norland.
Okay. And so it sounds like a social event, a way to have fun, learn about some new wines.
It's a great way to try a whole bunch of new wines without really having to drive around to a bunch of different wineries because, like I said, there'll be 40 – maybe I didn't say it. There'll be 40 different wines there. And
wow.
So, I mean, if you want to taste these all in one, at one time, you'd have to do some serious traveling.
Right.
But you get to taste them all at once, you know, compare some things side by side. There's a chance to purchase them and pick them up later from the Breeze Inn if you want to. And, you know, hear a little music and go for a good cause, which is the Juno Arts and Humanities Council.
Absolutely. And it really what it sounds like to me is you're doing environmentally friendly wine tasting by now these people don't have to travel all over the world and drive around.
Right. So it's wine tasting without the jet lag and going through TSA.
You're so thoughtful.
Well,
that's great.
We're trying to make it a public service. You know, nothing like a party disguised as a fundraiser and education.
Sustainable and environmentally friendly.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's 5 to 7 tonight at the Arts Council.
5 to 7 tonight at the Arts Council. And like I said, it's $30 per person, $50 per couple. And there are still tickets available at the door.
With live music.
With live music.
Sounds like a win-win.
Great. Yes.
For more information, I bet you can go to the JAC website and
– or call the Arts Council, which I think is 586-2590.
Yeah, 586-ARTS or something
yes,
like that.
Yes, right.
Right? Okay. Well, John Cherney, thank you very much for coming down today. Anything else you'd like to add?
No, just I hope to see you tonight and raise a glass and try a few wines and know it's going for a good cause, the arts here in Juneau.
Absolutely. Thanks a lot, John.
Thank you, Scott.
Well, some girls are proper and they'll drink some wine. Some girls prudish, won't waste her time. Some girls need a six pack to help see the light. Three chords and a bottle is all I need tonight. Well, I walked into a ballroom just to ease the pain, and right there on the jukebox was love. Honey, let me tell you, it's only in your mind.
All right. We were just listening to Yvette Landry. She'll be coming here as part of Bonsoir Catan. She's one of the guest artists. She plays bass, and as you can hear right there, she also plays country music. You're listening to A Juno Afternoon here on Tuesday, April 8th, 2014. And now with me in the studio from Gastineau Elementary School is Principal Brenda Edwards. Welcome, Brenda.
Hello.
Nice to have you. And also kindergarten and first grade teacher Chris Dorsey.
Hi.
Welcome to the studio, you two.
Thank you.
Thanks for coming down. So we're here today to talk about kindergarten registration. Is that right?
Yep. It is coming up very quickly.
Okay. And how quickly?
All six of the elementary schools will be open on Thursday, April 17th from 1 to 5. And what you'll be able to do at each school varies a little bit depending on the school.
Okay.
All schools will have a registration packet that has all the required forms in it that the school district requires.
Okay.
Families will also need to bring in current immunization records and a copy or the original birth certificate for us to make a copy of.
Okay. And is it open registration in Juneau? Can any student go to any school, or is it actually by district and boundary?
It's actually by district and boundary. Okay. And if you're not sure of what school or what boundary you live in and which school you should go to, on the school district website, on the homepage, I think under parents, there's a place that has a map of the whole Juneau area with the boundary lines drawn in, so you can see which is your neighborhood school.
Okay, so just Google Juneau School District and it'll hit, or what's the website?
JuneauSchools.org.
Okay, great. JuneauSchools.org, and you can figure out which school you're probably supposed to go to. And Chris, what should parents be thinking about as they're getting their kids ready to register for kindergarten?
Well, first of all, kids need to be 5 years old by
okay.
September 1st.
Okay.
So, and then mostly it's just getting some independent skills, some self-help skills, because, you know, kids come in with a variety of experiences before kindergarten.
Mm-hmm.
Some kids are coming straight from home care, some from a daycare that might have had a few children, some go to a preschool, and some go to big pre-K classes. And so there's a lot of kids that come in with different experiences, and they have different levels of self-help. So, you know, doing those little things over the summer that help get them ready to, you know, zip their zipper on their own or start writing their name if they're writing their name, if they can, you know, start using lowercase letters or start the last name. And, you know, just those little things that help them get through the day, getting their lunchbox opened and closed, go on a picnic, you know, during the summertime and use a lunchbox and
sure.
let them practice opening those containers and, you know, Velcro shoes are very popular with kindergarten teachers because when you have, you know, maybe 25 kids in a class and you have 5 minutes to get everybody ready for gym, you're not going to be able to tie 25 pairs of shoes. And so, you know, if your child doesn't know how to tie yet, you can work on tying. You can also buy Velcro shoes. So every kindergarten teacher is going to thank me for saying that.
Right.
So just those things that help them get through the day, understanding that there's times in school where kids will have time to play, but there's also times that they'll be doing some work, understanding that there's going to be a schedule to their day and that the teacher's there to help them and keep them safe and kind of talking through, you know, what it looks like at lunchtime and that there's recess time where they can go outside and, you know, play on the playground. And
okay. What's the time frame for Juneau School District kindergarten? What time does it start and stop?
So each school is a little bit different.
Oh, okay.
So Gastineau, Riverbend and Mendenhall River are all full-day kindergarten, which means they start at 8 and get out at 2:30,
okay.
and that's for the entire school year. Glacier Valley and Harborview they start off with a 1 o'clock release time, and then either at the end of the first trimester or at winter break, they go into full-time. So they kind of ease into that full day. And Ock Bay is the only of the six schools that does an earlier release every day throughout the entire school year.
Okay. And so you said on April 17th is the actual registration day. Is that right, Brenda?
That's the day for Auk Bay, Gastineau, Glacier Valley, Harborview, okay. Mendenhall River, River Bend. And the Juneau Community Charter School is actually doing Wednesday and Thursday, March 25th and 26th. And if you get on JunoSchools.org, there is under the hot topics down, if you scroll mm-hmm. down towards the bottom, there is a link that's called registration, and that's where you can find all the information you'd need to register for kindergarten.
So over the summer, too, we'd like to encourage parents to continue reading to their kids. That really helps with early reading skills, to keep drawing pictures and writing, to be curious about nature when you're out and about. You know, Juneau is such a wonderful, rich place to learn and be curious about things and ask questions with each other and wonder. And the other thing that's really helpful is about a month before school starts is to get ready for that bedtime routine of a school night, just getting in plenty of rest and sleep for those school days that are coming up.
This all sounds good for adults, too.
Yeah.
Yeah. A lot of kindergarten parents also need to get ready for kindergarten.
Okay. Any book recommendations for parents listening right now?
Wow. There's
Put
so
you on the
many.
Spot.
Yeah. So many wonderful books. Well, I'm always a fan of humorous books. And so the Froggy books are great. Just anything your child is interested in is like the best to go to the library and figure out what their interest is. If they're love the tram and love to go up there and talk about the eagles and go find books about eagles. Or if we're on the beach looking at rocks, go find some books about beach creatures. So just find out what your child's interested in and find the books and dig in.
I noticed you didn't say watch television or play video games.
Of course.
Well, anything else that you two would like to add about the registration process?
I think just one thing to add, it would be really helpful if you have any questions to not only look on the JunoSchools.org website, but also to call your neighborhood school. Like, for example, Gastineau, we're going to be giving student-led tours starting at 1 o'clock of the school, but unfortunately, our teachers will be teaching until 2:30, so families won't be able to visit the classrooms okay. on this day. But starting at 3 o'clock, and this is just at Gastineau, they'll be able to visit some of the classrooms. So if you're interested in actually meeting the teachers and maybe going into a classroom, mm-hmm. families really should call their neighborhood school and see what the plan is at each school, because it could be different.
That sounds like good advice. Chris, anything else you'd like to add?
Yeah, it's a great idea that to get your child in the school and perhaps in the classroom before the actual first day of school. It kind of calms the nerves, and for both parents and kids to see where they're going to be and who they're going to be surrounded with. So going in and having a visit whenever that's possible is great. And also I encourage parents to ask for like a sample schedule of what the day will be so they can talk with their children about that.
Wow. All sounds like great advice. Well, Brenda Edwards, Chris Dorsey, thank you both very much for your time today.
Thank you.
Thank you.
We're going to hear now from Todd Grebe in Cold Country. He'll be playing a special concert this Saturday downstairs here in our At 360 performance space during the dinner break of Folk Fest at 5 p.m. Here he is.
My picture on every wall and almost every room in this here town. They were gonna give me the keys to the city, but I let everybody down. Oh, I'm the master of my destiny. See me out on the streets, walking around, yeah, bumming around. Well, I'm broke down and busted, and I must have misplaced most of my mind. Only wandered off for a little bit, but I somehow wound up last in line. Oh, I'm the master of my destiny. See me out on the streets all the time, yeah, most of the time. You look around the corner, find what you're looking for.
might have to wade in through the darkness, slip on in through a back door. But you'll be the master of your destiny, like you never was before. Yeah, before. Your pity, and I wouldn't take any from you anyhow. I was laughing when I saw the ceiling fall as I kicked the walls out from the ground. Oh, I'm the master of my destiny. See me out on the streets, walking around, yeah, standing around. You look around the corner, find what you're looking for. You might have to wade in through the darkness, slip on in through a back door. But you'll be the master of your destiny, like you never was before. Yeah, before. You're gonna be the master of your destiny, like you never was before.
Hey everyone, this is Todd Grebe of Todd Grebe and Cold Country. We're longtime Alaskans who play American roots music with a honky-tonk flavor. Join me and my band for a special Folkfest edition live television recording for the new Alaska Original Series on 360 North. We'll play an hour concert on April 12th during the dinner break on the Saturday of Folkfest in the new At 360 performance space at KTOO and 360 North. Admission is free, doors open at 4:30, and cameras roll at 5. Hope to see you there.
You've been listening to Juno Afternoon here on Tuesday, April 8th, 2014. We're listening now to the Gallus Brothers, our guest dance band, who will be playing on Friday night, not to be missed. Tomorrow on a Juno Afternoon at 3, Ken Fix will be your host. We'll find about this weekend's hospice fun run. We'll focus on Friday's Wooshkinadei showcase fundraiser at the Rookery. We'll talk with John Hatton about contemporary folk music. And we'll get an update on Eagle Crest.
This is KTOO Juno. We broadcast at 104.3 FM in downtown Juneau and Douglas. We rebroadcast on translators K276 AF in the Mendenhall Valley and Auk Bay, K269 AO in Lemon and Schweitzer Creeks, K201 AM in Gustavus, K220 BT in Hoonah, and K210 AS, an excursion inlet in Icy Strait. In Juneau, KTOO is on GCI Cable, on digital channel 871. We're also online at ktoo.org. Support for national programming on KTOO comes from the Corporation for Public Broadcasting and listeners like you.
Stay tuned for All Things Considered here in about a minute. And the weather, snow in the morning tomorrow, then rain in the afternoon, snow level 200 feet, they're calling for, highs around 41. Tomorrow night, rain, lows around 36, southeast wind 5 to 15 miles per hour. On Thursday, rain likely, highs around 44. And Friday night, mostly clear, that's what I'm talking about, that's some Folkfest weather. Highs around 44, lows around 35. Saturday, mostly cloudy, doesn't say the R word, highs around 48. Sunday, mostly cloudy, chance of rain, highs around 46. And Sunday night and into Monday, mostly cloudy, chance of rain, lows around 37, highs around 44. Thanks for tuning in to a Juno Afternoon today. It's been a lot of fun.